loud jingle bells, and then when I bring my bracelet down, quiet, soft jingle bells. Can I hear it? Quiet, soft jingle bells. Quiet, okay, we're not gonna get there. All right, I'm gonna read a story called Good Night Manger, and I need your help to make some extra noise, okay? So wait till I bring up my jingle bells. Stars are twinkling, baby's fed. Mama says it's time for bed. Hug him, squeeze him, hold him tight. Dim the lantern, say good night. In the manger, baby goes, wiggles fingers, wiggles toes. Hen and donkey gather around. Hush, says Papa, not a sound. Cluck, he's cute. Oh yes, hee-haw. Now sleepy baby starts to wah. Shh, brays donkey, time for bed. Here's a pillow for your head. Hay smells sweet, but how it itches. Baby wiggles, squirms, and twitches. Hen adds feathers, soft and browned. Baby grabs some, snuggles down. Soon hosannas overhead, rouse the little sleepy head. Angels' voices shout with joy, meet this precious baby boy. Mama says, be quiet, please. Your voices carry on the breeze. Pa rocks baby to and fro. Does he slumber? No, no, no! Flying angels and a star soon bring help from near and far. Goats clink horns and foxes dance. Will baby doze now? Not a chance! Sheep leap railings, tipping pails, tumble, splash, poor baby wails. So much noise, he just can't sleep. Then tap, tap, tap behind the sheep. Three kings knock at stable door with royal pomp and gifts galore. Mama's frantic in a tizzy. Who knew stables were so busy? Mama says, here's what we'll do. Sing a quiet song or two. Then with voices big and small, gentle singing fills the stall. Baby smiles, baby sighs, stretching, yawning, rubbing eyes. Baby sleeps as stars on high twinkle to the lullaby. Good night, manger, good night, stall. Time to sleep now, one and all. All right, now we're gonna sing Silent Night. We're gonna sing a lullaby to baby Jesus.
Thank you. Our third reflection this morning is on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. The shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. I love this story. We have all heard it. The words are familiar. And most of us have heard them every Christmas since we were knee high. It's a lovely story. The shepherds, the angels, the singing, and off they go to find the babe. When I was younger, I used to wonder, what did they do with their sheep? Did someone draw the unlucky straw and had to stay behind to make sure the sheep were taken care of? Or did they take the whole flock with them? I could just see them all going down the road with their sheep. Did you know the shepherds were at the bottom of the social ladder? The lowliest of professions. Even if they were asked to testify in a court of law, no one would believe them because of how little they were respected. The shepherds probably stunk, they were unkempt, and they did not know how to speak properly. Yet the angels appeared to them to announce the good news of the birth. I believe the key verse here is, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." And let me repeat that, for all the people. From the lowliest of the low to kings. I often wonder, what did they do later? Did they go back to tending their sheep? Or did they continue to share what they had seen and heard? But what about me? How have I reacted to the good news of Jesus? Am I willing to drop everything to follow Jesus? How will God use me? I used to think it was too late for me. I had always ignored the callings, but one Sunday morning, the warmth inside of me became so strong that I knew God was calling me one more time. He had not given up on me. I thought I wasn't good enough, but I could feel God telling me to use all those things in my past to glorify him. Don't ever think that you cannot be useful to God. He trusted the good news to shepherds. The presence of the Almighty God was with them. The good news was for all people. If God used the lowly shepherd, then why can't he use me or even you? God does not give up on us. I want to be there when he calls so I can say, "Send me."
Thank you.
wise men found in Matthew's gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a shepherd, a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'd like to invite the kids to come forward one more time and bring your present or a picture. All right, so I see some great gifts here, but I want to let you, oh good, we got the camera going. Does anybody want to tell us about the present that they got and why they like it so much? Here, why don't you start? What did you, hold it up so we can see it. What did you get?
A Spider-Man monster truck.
Yeah, and it's special, huh? You really like it?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to share a present that they got that they really liked?
I got something.
What'd you get? You got a Mighty Pups tower, which is much too big to bring to church. So what's in your hand?
I don't know.
What's that? That's something from the busy bag. What do you got?
Chase.
You got Chase and his vehicle? Did you get any special presents that you really loved this year? Nope? Okay. What did you get that you loved this year? You got an Elsa stuffed animal. What did you get? Buzz Lightyear. What did you get? Buzz Lightyear 2 and a Woody. These are some really fun presents. Well, I wanted to share one of the presents that I got for Christmas. I like to crochet, and my brother got me some really pretty yarn with a bunch of different colors. And so I don't know what I'm going to make with it, but I'm excited to make something really pretty with this really pretty yarn. So I think one of the things that makes a present even better is when it comes from somebody that knows us well enough to get us something we love. Would you agree? A good present is one where somebody knows what you like and they know who you are, and that's why they get you a present. So probably all of these gifts, one reason that they were good gifts is because they were things that you liked, and the person who gave them to you knows the things that you like and you enjoy. So one of the stories we tell at Christmas is of the wise men who gave gifts to baby Jesus. They gave him things called gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were not toys. They were not fun gifts. But the reason that they gave those gifts to baby Jesus is because they knew who he was. They knew that this little baby was going to be king, and he was going to be somebody special. And so that's the reason, no, you don't get the microphone. That's the reason that, one of the reasons that we give gifts is because the wise men gave baby Jesus gifts. So let's take a second. Let's hold on tight to the present that we brought with us, or the memory of that present, let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and I'm going to offer a blessing, okay? Dear God, we thank you so much for Christmas, and we thank you for all the fun that we had at Christmas and all the fun that we keep having. And we thank you especially for these special gifts and toys that show how much somebody knows us and how much somebody loves us. We pray for a blessing on them. We pray for a blessing on the time that we spend playing with these toys, and help us to be able to share these toys with others, and help us to be able to give good gifts of love and care to others. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. Thank you so much. We're going to sing another song.
Share our next scripture reading, and this time it's from the Gospel of John. And when John introduces the story of Jesus, he doesn't start with the birth of Jesus. He takes more of a bigger, broader philosophical approach. And in fact, when we hear John's Gospel, it reminds us of the very first words of the Bible, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So imagine that now, as John, the gospel author, the writer, is trying to give us a broad, sweeping view of what it meant for Jesus to come to this world. So I'm going to read in the Gospel of John the first 14 chapter, or the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Well, I guess first of all, I just want to share what a joy it is to be back with you. For those that may not know, I had back surgery earlier, missed all of Advent, and I was in the office I saw my doctor on Friday. He released me to kind of lift people's spirits, but I can't lift anything over 5 pounds. But to be back in the office, I felt like George Bailey coming back to Bedford Falls. You know, it's like, hello, you locked doors that don't open, and hello, all you things. It's so good. I won't take it for granted ever again about just being together in worship and being able to walk and stand up and without pain. Now, one of the things that my family enjoys, they were here for Christmas, and we had Christmas yesterday, so I'm still on this adrenaline Christmas rush right now. But one of the things that we enjoy is we use WhatsApp. Do you know WhatsApp? It's like an app where it's kind of like a group text messaging so that we can put a text message out or a picture or a video, and all the members of the family can see it. And so like this, it's this group dialogue of our daughter who's like overseas and all the kids where they live and so on. And so I was using WhatsApp to let the family know my condition as Thanksgiving, I really had a bad situation and I went to have an MRI and went to see the doctor and stuff. And I put on WhatsApp, I said, the doctor said to me, what did you do to get such a bad back? And one of my daughters then replied, well, did you show him the video from Storm Lake to help him understand? So I want to show you the video from Storm Lake that she was talking about. This is our home in Storm Lake a few years ago. So that was Linda's voice. You can tell the kind of sympathy I get at home. But the whole idea of, who knows what might have happened, but praise God, the amazing things they can do. I want you to remember the bulletin cover today and our theme, the journey of Christmas. And to recall that the journey of Christmas is not just a story that we read about something that happened 2,000 years ago. The journey of Christmas is ongoing. It's a story that we all continue to share in as the light of the world, the love of God, has come to earth in the form of Jesus. And his Spirit, God's presence, continues to be a part of all of our journeys. And together, we are sharing part of this journey together. You all know how it is, where there's family members, there's other people that you walk along the journey for a period of time, and they grow up or they go on, or people pass away and people move. And so, there's different people that we share the journey with as we go. And I guess I just want to say to you, I'm so pleased and blessed to join you on this part of our journey together. Especially, I do want to say a word of thanks for Pastor Heather and the rest of our staff that I was gone, and they were able to say, just stay away, and we've got it taken care of. So, Heather, thank you for your leadership and just being able to carry on. That's a good sign. Part of what we want to do as followers of Jesus is to raise up disciples who can carry on when we're gone. And so for a church to be able to maintain after, you know, to raise up leaders is what we're all about. So thank you also to Kurt and to Pat for sharing your witness today. Again, that's part of what we want to do, to continue to raise up people who can lead others on this journey and who are sharing this journey together. Now, our gospel reading out of John, when John tells the story, it's interesting because, you know, he starts with this overarching picture and remembers of the very creation and uses, they think John was probably talking to more like a Greek philosophical type audience. And he paints this broad picture of in the beginning. And it sounds a lot like Genesis. In the beginning, you know, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on. But John ties it by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And theologically, we can think about how that was the Word that was Jesus, and this God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been there from the very beginning. It's hard to understand. But this was John's way of saying, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. And this Word was a light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness will not overcome it. You see, John is kind of giving like an overview of all that's to happen, kind of a gospel story in summary. And he begins with some specifics about John the Baptist, the man who came, who was preparing for this light, and that's John the Baptist. He himself, John the Baptist, was not the Word, but he was preparing for that Word to come, that one who was to come after him. And in verse 10, then John, the gospel writer, says, here's basically what happened. The Word came light into the world, and his own people didn't accept him, didn't receive him, but to all who did receive him, they were born of not the blood of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God. In other words, the gospel writer John was saying that this one who came into the world, those who believed in him, were born spiritually, were connected to the God who created us all. And here's then the verse that I really want to lift up at verse 14. And the gospel writer then, again, this is part of the whole overall summary, says the Word became flesh and lived among us. In light of our theme for today, another way we could say it, the Word became flesh and entered into our journey with us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to remember those two words, full of grace and truth. John, the gospel writer, was saying that this Son, this the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, God's light, God's very presence, come onto this earth to join us on our journey. He lifts up two characteristics of this Word of grace and truth. We might think of grace as love, as forgiveness, and truth, truth or light. These are the very characteristics of God that I believe can be characteristics of human beings as well, those who are created in the image of God. That just as God is light and God is love, we as children of God can also be truthful and loving. I mean, you think about those two characteristics that are supremely made known in God as revealed in Jesus, truth, light, and grace, love. The challenge for us and the desire for us as human beings is that we too can reflect both truth and love in the relationships that we have with other people. Think about that. Think about somebody who knows you, truth, knows all about you, your sins, your faults, your shortcomings, and they still like you. They still care about you. They still love you. There's a grace to forgive all of that and want to be in a relationship with you. I mean, that's what we know of God through Jesus. But think about when that happens with another person that has joined you on your journey. I mean, let's take a moment just right now to think about somebody in your life who knows you, who knows all about you, and still likes you. There's a friend, cares for, it might be a parent, a family member. But we want to take just a moment to just think about who that is. full of truth and love.
Can
you think of someone? Think about what a gift that person was to you. That joining you on your journey, they loved you, they forgave you, they knew all about you. They were full of both truth and love. Friends, as we go into this new year, we're going to be spending some time in the next few weeks thinking about the power of words. And those two words I want you to carry with you, truth and love. You know, we just sang the hymn, you know, He rules the world with grace and truth. And that we can have those elements in our relationships, that God's Spirit can so fill us that we, in the image of God, can also be truthful, honest, light, and loving, forgiving, graceful. Because when we do, when we have those relationships, it will be the best. Kind of a taste of heaven. And it will be a wonderful way for God's kingdom to come in our lives, in our world, on this journey that we're on together. Amen. Well, at this point, we want to give an opportunity to share in the blessings as God has blessed us. So we're going to receive now an offering, and this is like your last chance to give an offering in this year. And so, isn't it weird to think next year when we gather, it'll be a whole new year, it'll be a whole new decade. But certainly we've got a lot to be thankful for. And so as a way to support the mission of this church here and around the world, let's receive now our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer of dedication. Lord Jesus, born to us so long ago, we rejoice again that you have come to dwell on earth with your people. Give us guidance to keep Christmas well, not only this year, but throughout the new year. We dedicate to you these gifts and our very lives. May these humble offerings be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please remain standing for our closing hymn. Christ is born. It's your job now to go tell it on the mountain, to tell people to not be afraid of the good news, to not be afraid of God, to share how your life has been changed and transformed, and to share with others the power of grace and truth. May you have a blessed week as you go out in the world to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Peace be with you. Thank you.